good. Yes. Yeah, I like that. I was telling somebody, to make America great, somebody was saying that, someone said America was good. I said, I'm going to change that. I said, that's better than make America great. We need to make America good again. Amen. Amen. Let the grace and the mercies of God flood our country. Amen. I'm ready. Amen. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. We've seen some crazy things, but I've seen in the spirit things even better. Amen. So praise God. How many ever been criticized? Praise God. Well, we're going to be talking about how to deal with it. I've been criticized a lot of times in my life, and things have happened. But before we get into the Word, I was on YouTube, and I was looking up Psalms 119:42, and I found these Hebrews of my persuasion, black Hebrews, and they were singing our text. Amen. And so I just want to play that before we get started while getting my things here set up. Praise God. I want you to listen to this. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And I heard this and I said, wow, this is great. I said, I know I didn't do it like I was supposed to, email it in, and because it was the last minute thing when I saw it. And I said, maybe it'd be a nice thing to start off with. You want to turn that on? That'd be nice for them to see these guys. Yeah, let's do it on the projector. Yeah, when we was in Anchorage, we saw a lot of those. Yeah, running down the road beside us, running across in front of us. Yeah. On a four-lane main highway that goes into the airport in Anchorage, here comes a moose across the four lane. Gets in front of our car and he says, so what are you doing on my road? Praise God. Is it going to come up? Well, some of you don't know me. While she's getting that ready, I'm Michael, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. My beautiful wife back there, I married up, y'all. She shared last night, yesterday, and we're from Flowery Branch. We have four sons, two daughter-in-laws, three grandbabies. Amen. And we're in transition. Last year when we started in the conference, I was sharing on the first commandment, loving the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind. In February, I started saying, Lord, help me to love you with the same intensity that you love me. And my whole life has changed. It's changed, I mean, dramatically. And started asking the Lord, help me to love myself with the same intensity that you love me. And I've been in a season of repentance. Transition began in our lives. And September, the Lord told me, he said, look behind you. It was September, October of last year, and I looked behind me. He said, what did you see? And I said, I see the river. He says, that's the Jordan at your heels. So you're going into a promise. So the first of the year, we have not been in our church all month because God had transitioned us out, and our sons are taking over our church. Got two sons, our senior pastors, amen. Over the church, so we've been gone, and we're having oversight now of four churches that we're going to be doing a lot more traveling and doing some things like that. So we're just excited about what God's doing, and we're ready. All right. That's our scriptures for today. Amen. These are Israelites, y'all. And they're going to be singing in the Hebrew. How many ever seen an Israelite look like that? My rabbi, I call him my rabbi. He's from Austin, Texas, Round Rock, and he's a black rabbi, born and raised in Israel. God's people are all colors. Amen. Israel's lights were all colors. Amen. We all come from the same Father. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in the Lord. Amen. So shall I have an answer for them that reproach me, for I trust in the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you this evening, Father, this afternoon. We just ask God for your harashitia makaya, your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, your understanding, Father. Open our hearts, our ears to hear and to receive what you will say to us today, Father. For God, all of us, God, that have Christ in us, God, will suffer reproach, will suffer criticism, Father. God, but we should have an answer for every man, Father, everyone that will speak to us, God, that will reproach us, God, that we should have an answer, Father God, and help us, God, to understand how we're to handle this, Father. God, for we're looking, God, for you to give us the answers in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The theme for this conference is the Word is an anchor and leads us to the redemptive faith. And we're going to be talking about how to handle criticism. And there are three points that we're going to be looking at. It is faith warring, hope testifying, and love obeying. And we're going to go through some scriptures. And when it's, I'm going to pass these out later, but they're questions that's going to challenge you through the rest of this year if you keep them, how to answer people. Amen? the church has been in a crazy place. Amen. How many of you know that our millennials are in trouble? I was reading statistics that said 40% of millennials that go to church regularly every Sunday do not believe in born again. 40% of them believe in same-sex marriage. 10% of them don't know whether it's right or wrong. What happened? December, as we were going through the transition with my sons, and I preached a message stuck in the mud. That something that we have done as believers, you know, I don't see any millennials. What went wrong? You know, I am 73. I have a new mandate. I have a new call of God on my life, and it is a burning in me for the next generation. What am I going to leave them? Am I going to leave them at a place where they don't know what it is to be born again? You know, do I have an answer for them? Do you have an answer for them? You know, many times when we're challenged, when we were challenged in the universities by what we believed, when we challenged things, our answers were out of anger, were out of confusion. A lot of times we answer because we didn't have an answer. And our children are lost because we did not have an answer, or we did not know how to handle criticism. I know I had a hard time. You know, I'm speaking to myself, answering criticism. People that reproach me. You know, the first thing want to come up on me was a spirit slap. How many been there? They ought to know better. But that's not how God works. Amen? It's like Pastor Carlos was sharing in his workshop, you know, about hate and love. You know, we are to hate some things. Sin and these things, but we are to love all men. You know, how many can love a pedophile? You know, there's things that we have to face in this world. Amen. And so we got to learn how to move in this thing. And this was this psalm is about is how to handle these things, and we're going to talk about that. I had a hard time, let me tell you, I really did, till God came in my life in a special way. We have pastored for 27 years, senior pastor, 6 years associate pastor, and I've learned some things. Before I was associate pastor, we were 2 years as elders. So all my experience and the things that I have gone through and the things I suffered, I hope I can share some things to you. You know, in maturity, you learn some things. You know, before I got saved, I was, come on, right on, my 40 acres of mule. Got saved, problems, God's telling me how to love people. You know, God begins to change us, and as you grow, things happen. And this is what we need to know. In 1 Peter 3:15, turn there and let's read together. It says, but sanctify, oh, let me back up. Let's read. Start with verse 13. It says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteous' sake, you are blessed. If you suffer for righteous' sake, you are what? Blessed. Amen. We're always running around, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. Let's get some more suffering. The blessed are those that will suffer. Amen. You're blessed. And it says, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor their trouble. But sanctify, everybody say sanctify, the Lord God in your hearts, Now I'm going to add into here. It says, your word I have hidden in your heart that I might not sin against you. It says, sanctify God in your heart. Hide the word of God in your heart that you'll not sin against him. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who makes ask for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I've taught my church that you never have to defend yourself because you are the righteousness of Christ. And it's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives within you. And the life that you live by the Son of God who gave himself for you. You are the righteousness of Christ. Why do you have to defend that which is righteous? I said, only thing that we have right to defend, and that is the word of truth. It says here that we have to be ready to make a defense for what we believe. My third son, he's a worship leader. You talking about a guy who, in apologetics? I tell you, I put him up there with Robert Zacharias. I said, he ought to be teaching this. This guy is so great in this. But he learned how to defend the faith. How many know that Jehovah Witnesses know how to defend their faith? But a lot of us don't. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but there are basically two reasons why we have a hard time defending our faith. There's basically two reasons why we come up with excuses why we cannot witness or defend what God says. We're going to be looking at that. It says, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. It says, having a good conscience with meekness and fear, having good conscience, and that when they defame you as evildoers, so who revile your good conduct in Christ be ashamed. If you reach out and you begin to love people and your answer is not out of anger but out of meekness and fear, you'll bring defame on those that will speak out against you. You know, it says heaping hot coals upon their heads. When you do good to evil, it's like heaping. And that's what he's saying here. Peter is saying when you answer them with meekness and fear, it's like heaping coals of fire upon the head. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So what is he saying there? It's good to suffer doing good than doing evil. You're being reproached. And what would he mean by doing evil? It's how you respond to that reproach. You can respond to it with grace, meekness, and fear, or you can respond to it with anger and bitterness. When you respond to it in anger and bitterness, it's doing evil. So it's better to do this than be evil. David has in this, I keep wanting to go this other way, and someone says, you know, you need to follow your rabbit trails, but I'm going to try to stay with my notes here. If that's okay with y'all, I got so much stuff here, but I'm going to do this. It says, the love that David has for the word of God continues to direct his prayers, his praise, and petitions.
Psalms 119:41 is the beginning of the six stanzas of the Psalm 119, and it starts with the Hebrew letter is Vav, V-A-U, which is one of the Hebrew letters. Every one of the six stanzas of Psalms has a Hebrew letter, and each of them means something. Amen. And here it means to express firm trust and intense delight in God's word, and an earnest desire to see it fully accomplished. Vaughn reveals the mercy and the salvation of the Lord. What this psalm is about is to reveal the mercy and the salvation of the Lord. The Message Bible says in this psalm, it says, let your love, God, shape my life with salvation, exactly as you promised. Then I will be able to stand up and to walk because I trusted your word. Don't ever deprive me of truth. Not ever. Your commandments are what I depend on. Oh, I guard my life. What you have revealed to me, guard it now. Guard it forever. I'll strive freely through wide open spaces as I look for your truth, your wisdom, and then I will tell the world. Then I will tell the world what I find, speak out boldly in public, unembarrassed. I cherish your commandments. Oh, how I love them, relishing every fragment of your counsel. According to the verse of Psalms, the verse 42 in Psalms 119, what is the psalmist's answer? What is his answer to reproach? What does it mean to be to reproach somebody? To reproach comes from the Hebrew word karath, which exposes as by stripping. To expose by stripping, to carp at, to defame. To reproach in our English language means to express criticism towards someone or something. To carp means to raise trivial objections. To defame means to charge falsely or with malice intent. To attack and the good name and the reputation of someone. In each of these definitions, it is a hostility toward that someone. When you are being reproached, it is hostile. Amen. What it means by the reproach is hostile against you. And there's some things that we have to understand in the Bible. We know that David, when he was a young boy, he was taking some food up to the armies of Israel who was camped against the Philistines. And when David got there, he saw the big giant out in the field, and the big giant bringing reproach against Israel. And David said, I will go out there fighting. But David did not go out to fight him, for he did not reproach Israel. He did not reproach the armies of Israel. He did not reproach David's brothers, but he reproached God. Amen? And so David went out to come against this reproach. Amen? And what he did, he picked up a stone out of five stone, and we know the story, he killed David. But if you go through the Bible, you'll find all these stories where this reproach is coming, but the reproach was never against Israel. The reproach was never against individual personally. It was always against God. It was always against the word of truth. When you're reproached, it's not because of who you are. That's why I said you don't ever have to defend yourself. If the reproach that comes against you, if you're a born-again believer, it's because the God is in you. Amen? And so once we begin to realize that, then sometimes that will take that tension away from you. When we were in Ketchikan, not this last time, but a time for last, we went to this restaurant, Tom and Debbie and Michelle and I, and we went in to the restaurant with what Nancy was talking about a while ago, And we walked in and we sit down and we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited. People were coming in, they're getting served, getting waited on. Finally, I said, well, we need to go talk to the waitress. So we're over here, you know. And so they finally served us. After we served, I sit there. And I wasn't upset. I wrote them the biggest tip they probably got in 3 years. I did. I wrote them a big tip and paid them. We went back there two days later, walked in the place. I couldn't get through the door before all of them were crawling on us. But see, what you do, you turn evil away by doing good. I could have got up there and wrote a tip for one penny to say, I don't like your service. How many Christians do that? You know, how many Christians on Sunday when they go out to eat, they don't leave a tip? How many know that they don't like us on Sunday because we go in the church and we're into the restaurants and we're trying to witness with our words, but with our deeds, we do not do anything. Those waitresses out there, they're working hard. Some of them are single mothers. Some of them are, they didn't treat me right, so I'm not going to give them a tip. You know, you're being reproached when you're not getting the service you want. Amen? And how do you respond to that is how you're going to receive. If you respond evil with evil, guess what you're going to receive? If you respond anger with anger, what are you going to receive? Amen. If you respond anger with grace and mercy and peace, what are you going to receive? But some people won't do that, you know. But you got to be able to stand your ground. You got to let the God in you take over. See, that's the key is sometimes we don't know who we are in God. Amen. Psalm 42 says, I will trust in thy word. The word of God, when you reproach, you got to test the word of God. You got to trust it. When I'm saying trust the word of God, you got to test it. You can't trust nothing you don't test. You know, I bought a shotgun, and I had that thing for 2 years and had not fired it. And if someone came to the house, would I trust that gun without firing it? So I had to go to the range and fire this shotgun, see how it worked and feel before I can trust it. I know this gun will work now. Amen? And so to trust the word of God, you're going to have to test it. When we're talking about trust, and we're talking about testing. Amen? How many were in the military? Anybody here in the military? You know, you didn't want to go into combat without testing your weapons. Amen? You got to clean your weapons. So to trust is to test something. Amen? You can't trust the word of God if it's not in you. You have to have it to test it. I'm going someplace with that. The writer is reproached because his confidence in God. He's reproached because his confidence in God. You know, one of the points is faith warring. And we have to learn how to war in the proper way. You know, warring faith does not move mountains. Warring faith does not heal the sick. Warring faith will not raise the dead. Warring faith is for us. Warring faith is to war against the doubt and unbelief with us. It didn't tell us to war against the mountain it'll be moved. It says, say to the mountain it'll be moved. It didn't say that we are to pray and beg and for God to heal. He says by his stripes he's healed. So I don't war for healing. I war against the doubt and unbelief. I war against that within me that's not in me. Warring faith is not to move the mountain. The warring faith is to move that which is in you. How many of you like to war? You know, we're going to war against these things. We're going to war. Look, God says that when I preach the word, then signs and wonders are going to follow me. So I don't have to war for that. Amen? And when you're reproached, you don't have to war against a reproach. Because God is your defense. God is your liberty and your freedom. God is everything you need. He's in you. Why do you have to fight for something's already you have? I found myself coming up through the ranks that I was fighting for something I already had. God said, why are you fighting for that? I already gave it to you. He said, it was my lack of faith and doubt and unbelief. When you're being reproached, you're going to have to believe. David says, I will trust in the Lord. How can David know this? He had to meditate on the word of God. You know, it says, out of the belly shall come rivers of living water, right? Amen. He says, out of the issues of heart, the mouth will speak. When you're being reproached, what's coming out of you? It says we should have an answer. The Bible says we should have an answer for every man. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says that, you know, that our word should be seasoned with salt. Peter, or Jesus, told his disciples, 12 of them, he said, I'm going to send you out amongst the sheep and the wolves, and they're going to take you, and they're going to bring you before the authorities in the country, and they're going to reproach you. But don't think about what you're going to say. I'm saying, how many of you, when you're thinking about going out witnessing, you're always thinking about what you're going to say? Why would Jesus tell them not to think about what they're going to say? For out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in you will come out of you when you're reproached. When you're reproached, what's in you will come out of you. And if you don't have Christ in you, then what's going to come out of you? See, I thought I had Christ. I did have Christ in me, but I did not have faith of Christ in me. I didn't really know who I was in Christ. And when I got reproached, oh man, I'm ready to go to war. I get angry. How many of you get angry when someone reproaches you? Even about the word of God, wants to challenge you. Can you have a decent conversation with someone who's not like you, who wants to make fun of what you believe in? I had a boss, and every year, at our company, we would grade the managers. All of us would be graded. And he would get the worst grading. And this last time, he got the worst one to ever come through the plant. And so everybody was going in and talking to him. They were spending 2 hours in the office with him, telling him what kind of horse's patootie he was. And I mean, it was bad, and he reproached me, and I had to make a trip with him one time. We had to go to Myrtle Beach, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go. I kept telling the Lord, I don't want to go, because he always would try to bring up things about bad pastors, bad churches. He wanted to reproach the church, and he kept it up and kept it up, and I didn't want to go with him. And the Lord says, you're going? I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And so we got in the car, in Flower Branch, Georgia, drove all the way to Myrtle Beach. I'm in the car and I'm saying, Lord, I don't have anything I want to talk to this guy about. So I get in the car, I said, I'll drive. And so he started on the preachers. And he opened up the door. I didn't get angry. Normally I would get angry. There was just a peace came on me. And I just began to speak to him about the Lord. I talked to him about the Lord all the way to Myrtle Beach. We got to Myrtle Beach and we walked in. We looked at the equipment. I said, man, we don't want this piece of junk. He says, you're right. He said, you want to stay tonight? I said, no, let's go home. So we jumped in the car and we turned around and we drove all the way back talking about the Lord. He was trying to reproach me, but I had given him grace and telling him about the love and mercy of God. And then when he got this grade, when all of them were going in, railing him out, it was my turn to go in. I walk into his office, and I say to him, what's up? He said, you tell me. I said, okay. I said, the Lord's the same yesterday and today and forever. I said, all authority on the earth belongs to the Lord. Lord put you here. You're in this authority because God put you here. And because of that, I submit myself to your authority. I said, as long as you don't violate God's word in my life, I said, we haven't got a problem. I said, we have anything else to talk about. Turn around, walked out of his office. Everybody out there just kind of looking. I only spent that much time just like that in his office. After everybody was spending an hour, 2 hours in his office. Within 2 months, he was saved. But see, your answer to when you're being reproached, I could argue with him all the way up. That's what he wanted to do. How many know when someone reproaches you, he wants an argument? It's not because of them. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle is against the principalities and ruling powers of darkness. Amen? And you're being reproached not because of who you are. I'm not being reproached because of who I am. I tell people all the time, I said, before I violate God's word, I'll be a slave again. Let me tell you, God's word is the main thing. It drives me. It's the thing that makes me live. It calls me to have breath. Amen. I live because of the word of God. Amen. And I will not violate the word of God. I will not make alliance with anybody that goes against the word of God. Amen. And it moves me. And that's what has to be in our lives. It has to be the word of God that be our final say-so. Not my opinions, not how I feel. Amen? I told my brother, I said, I don't care, brother. I don't care what kind of programs people have, what kind of programs here, but my life is lined up with the Word of God. Amen? And the battle is not against flesh, but it's against the powers and the principalities and the ruling powers of darkness. And so the ruling powers of darkness are coming against the Christ in you. They're coming against the God in you. They hate God. And they hate God. They hate God. They hate you. Amen? And so what they want to do is pick a fight with you. To get you to not trust the Word of God. Amen? How many remember the commercial when the Hemis first came out? The Dodge Hemis? And a guy had a bowl of goldfish sitting on the front seat of his car. And a guy pulls up to him, next to him in a Mustang, and he looks over at him, he rolls his window down, and he says, I got a bowl of goldfish in my car. He didn't have to race him. He didn't have to show him what he had because he already knew what he had. Amen? He can got up there and race and went down the street and got a ticket. My son had one of those Camaros with a big engine and everything. I think, boom, 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 you hit that bell cam in it. And he said he pulls up to a light and a state trooper pulls up next to him. Starts racing his engine, rolling down his window, let's go. He took off, but he didn't get a ticket. He said, say true, pull up, and said, mm-hmm. I said, man, I raced you smarter than that. I said, I said, I don't know where you got that from. but when you have something, you don't have to show it off. Amen? You don't have to defend yourself because you have all authority. You have all power. See, when Jesus came, he came to restore to us that which the enemy has taken from Adam. He stole it from Adam. He stole authority. He stole dominion. He stole the kingship of man on earth. And God had to send another Adam by the name of Jesus Christ, amen, to restore to us authority and dominion. What he came to do is put us in that place where we need to be, far above principality, far above the powers and the ruling powers of darkness. Those are the enemies that reproach you. They reproach you, and God says you're greater than them. You're seated in heavenly places far above them, and yet they come to reproach you just like the devil came to reproach Eve, and Eve had authority and dominion, and he didn't. But we've been restored, amen? And we have to know that we are of an order of kings and priests. Amen. We have a we are no longer of this earth. I am an alien. How many of you ever seen an alien? I'm from Roswell, man. I'm an alien. You know, make a movie about me, man. How many of you are not of this earth? Praise God, amen, amen. So we don't have to function under the fallen state. We are new creatures. We are brand new. We are something special. God made us. God made us new. He gave us him who he become the righteousness of Christ. Amen. We live far below who we are. We live so far below who we are, we have to pull down our socks sometimes to see. You know, God is wanting us to take our position, to move where we're supposed to be. And he allows the approach to come against us. He allows these approaches to come against us, that they would that would challenge who we are. Amen? And how do you overcome the reproach? Another way that you overcome, besides the warring against the doubt and unbelief in you, is bringing hope to those that reproach you. See, they're being moved by the enemies, but in their heart, they need hope. They need to know why you serve God. The question Nancy asked is that we got to answer one word: who God is in you, who God is. See, we got to know who we are. How many of you know you're never going to know who you are if you don't read who you are? When I first got saved, I was an atheist. I was never raised in church. Didn't even have a clue who Jesus was. So I met my wife. My wife, she's everything to me. She led me to the Lord. She helped me get on my pathway. Amen. And I love her so much because of that. But I was a heathen. And when I got saved, you know, I was a heathen costal. I was in a Pentecostal church, and I was still a heathen. I was a heathen costal. But what I'm trying to say is when I got there, we was in a Sunday school class, and this associate pastor was teaching, and he says, once you get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know everything. Well, I got saved, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, but I didn't know who he was. And I'm sitting there in Sunday school class,
I don't know nothing.
You've been there, and you're brand new, and you're supposed to know everything. But let me tell you, there is something that's in you when you're saved. When the Holy Ghost comes in you, there's something that comes in you, and it's the authority and the power of God. Even when you're a brand new Christian, you're a reproach, you will have an answer. And what is that answer? It's your testimony. We all have a testimony. Testimony is hope. Hope testifies. It testifies of the goodness of God. It testifies of the mercies of God. It testifies of the love of God. It testifies of who He is, the great I am. It testifies that He saves us. He testified that I was once lost and now I'm found. It testifies. Hope testifies. And when you give it to someone that reproaches you, you give them hope. Everybody has an answer for no matter how new you are in Christ. But no one told me that. Amen. It's our testimony. If somebody asks you what you, all you got to do is tell them your testimony. Amen. See, sometimes, you know, how many of you get really fearful about sharing the gospel or speaking to somebody? You know, there's two reasons why. There's two reasons why. One is we're empty. You know, we make excuses. You know, I'm fearful, I'm bashful. You know, I had a bad day, all these things. But the bottom line is, one of them, is we have nothing to give because we have put nothing in. And the second thing is we have lost our confidence. Those two things that cause us not to move. We're reproached. And how many of you read your Bible through every year? My wife and I, we've been doing it for several years now. But last year, I didn't read it through. There's a lot of things going, but I was reading it, and I didn't get all the way through it. And I was reading first. I was doing a lot of more study, and I was reading, and I'm back at it this year. I'm moving along. I'm gonna get through. But see, you got to, for it to come out of you, you got to have something in you. You got to take time to sit down and read the Word of God. You got to take time to study the Word of God. How many of you know if you study the Word of God today and you walk out there and someone reproaches you about God, there'll be something in you that you can share. Let me tell you, like my brother wrote out his devotional when God spoke to him. That devotional now is in him. If he's reproached, there's something in that devotional that's going to come out of him to bring somebody hope. Amen. Amen? To turn their lives, amen. It will turn their lives. You got to have something in you. Amen. Anytime you get criticism, if you got Christ in you, you're going to be able to give it out. Amen. See, I'm just scared. Amen. And let me tell you, just because you got it in you doesn't mean that not a little fear is going to come. You know, I study the Word, get ready to preach. You know, I get it ready to preach, and there's a little tremble comes in me. There's still fear because there's a reverence of Him. When God called me to preach, I was laying on the floor in a church praying to God, and God says, I'm calling you to preach. And I was laying on the floor sucking up the carpet, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, how can I do this? These people are called by your name. I said, Lord, I'm fearful that I would hurt them, I might wound them. And when I get up to preach or when I get up to teach, that same fear is there that I'll not say something that will cause someone to err and move out of the ways of the kingdom. Amen? And so when that reproach comes, there's going to be some fear, but you're going to have to come over it. Amen? You were in the military. Amen? I was a military guy. When you go out into combat, you're going to be fearful. You're going to be a little bit, sometimes more than that. You know, you don't find too many soldiers that have been in combat that did not pee in their pants. I'm serious. When bombs are going off, bullets are flying around, guys' legs are coming off, there's fear on you. But what makes them heroes? What makes them heroes? They have to overcome. They got to have confidence. And when they're training, they got to have confidence in that which they have put in them. They got to have confidence when the captain says, move forward, you got to get up and go. No matter what's coming over your head, what's shooting by you, what bombs are dropping off beside you, you go because you have been trained. You have confidence in that what you've done. You got confidence in your weapon. You know you clean your weapon. You know your weapon's ready. You got confidence. Amen? So when you reproach, you got to have confidence in your weapon. No. It just happens. It once you train in it, once you come familiar with it, it just... take your gun apart, put it back together, blindfold. You know, you work with something to you get to that place where it just becomes a natural thing with you. Reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God should become natural to us. Amen? Because when it becomes natural to us, we will have an answer to those who criticize us. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's making any sense. Amen? From faith warring to hope testifying. Amen. I got a bunch of scriptures here, and I don't know if we have time to go through them. I'm going to hit on down here. Kind of get like Carol Ann. She said, I got so many notes, I don't know what to do. I got a lot of stuff here, and it's 4:35, so let's go a little further. Amen. Because there's some things I want to share with you about the love of God. Amen. How important is our trust and confidence in God, in His Word and His promise? Why? It's a question I got here to ask. And it says, trusting in God's word assures me an answer of those who question what I believe. Trust in God's word and gives me assurance that God is the answer. How many know the pat answer to any question? The kids know it when I... asked him, you know, what eats a nut and lives in a tree? Jesus! In church, you know. Everything, the pat question, answer is Jesus. He is totally our answer. Psalms 119:43 says, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, but I wait for thy ordinance. He says, I wait for that ordinance. David says, do not take the word of truth out of my mouth. I wait for the ordinance. He's waiting for the Torah. in the Hebrew, it's the Torah, waiting on the law, the ordinance of God. How many of you know that I'm not waiting on an ordinance from God? I'm not waiting on the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. Because Christ is in me and He's fulfilled the law. Amen? He promised me. He promised Israel. He made it through His prophet. He said, I will write my word or my law or my Torah upon your heart. Amen? I don't need no stone tablets for the Ten Commandments because I am the Ten Commandments. Come on now. Let's look at it. If the righteousness of Christ is in you, the law is fulfilled in you, then you are the world's Ten Commandments. And we got to walk that way. What's happened to I started out with our younger generation? We lost them because we have not walked. We have not talked. Our lives have been empty of the Word of God like it should be. Amen? Our defense of criticism was out of anger. A lot of our lives, not everybody, you know, we got a good group here, but a lot of the church, their answers were judgment. I had a young man ask me once, are you a dude Christian or don't Christian? And he was talking about the legalism. And I said, well, son, I don't know how to answer this, but I don't know if this is right, good, you'll like this or not, but I'm a do and don't Christian. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'm a do and don't Christian. He says, what's that? I said, I do what he tells me to do, and I don't do what he tells me not to do. I said, we need to be a do and don't Christian. Amen? You just, and once you realize who you are, you do. You do. You don't have to worry about the don'ts because you'll do. If you walk in righteousness, you'll do. It's why Carlos was saying, you do what God tells you to do. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and songs, singing with thanksgiving in God. 2 Timothy says, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Psalm 71:17-18 says, O God, thou hast taught me from thy mouth, and I will still declare thy wondrous deeds. And when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. Psalms 119:46 says, I will also speak of thy testimonies before the kings and not be ashamed. David's resolve was in Psalm 44. It says, so I will keep thy law continually forever. We got to learn how to keep the law continually. And how do you keep the law continually? It's written on our hearts. Amen. Praise God. From David to Jesus, things have changed. You know, when Jesus, we can start with a Lazarus. When Jesus came to raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, roll away the stone. What was keeping Lazarus in the grave was the stone law. But Lazarus was not the one who delivered all men. So the stone that was rolled away when Jesus was raised from the dead was the stone law. The stone law, the law of stone brought what? Death. Jesus rose up from the dead, and he put in the heart, wrote the law of God in our heart. Amen? And the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen? And so when he put the law of God in our hearts, amen, that we will love him, so it's easy to keep the law. Amen? I don't need anybody to tell me. You know, it's already written in me. It is God's grace to me. It is grace. It is God's grace, amen, that we can answer people with love and mercy, amen, that we don't have to be angry any longer, amen. Anger must go out of our lives, and we got to begin to move in that grace that God's given us. Amen. It's love obeying. Faith warring, hope testifying, and love obeying. Amen? That's the way we answer criticism. Amen. If you work, remember, warring is not warring that the mountain be moved. It's not warring that you be healed. It's not warring that it's warring of the doubt and unbelief in you. Amen. Faith wars in us. Don't let faith, don't get out there and try to make a mountain move by warring faith. Amen. You should already have that taken care of. Amen. I would use my war against that doubt and unbelief in me that I will operate in who God calls me to be. I'm far above powers, far above principalities, far above those that will come and make accusations against me. It's not man, it's not those, not the people that make accusation to bring reproach, but it's the spirit of Antichrist that comes to challenge the Christ that's in us. So we don't have to defend ourselves. God said be defender of the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's what grace got me right back there. I done told him that. My best friend reminds me. Yeah. My friend reminds me all the time. Every time he comes down from North Carolina and sees me, he says, "Man, you sure married up, didn't you?"
Praise God. Well, you want to get it activated? Come on.